You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast. In today's episode, we are talking about the fourth of the four pillars of play therapy. So we've already covered the first three, reflecting feelings, choice giving, and limit setting. And today we are moving into the fourth and final pillar, which is encouragement. This is one of my favorites because this to me is the most revolutionary, often not only for parents that have never been made aware of this before, but even as clinicians, if you did not have a background in child-centered, if you did not go through a program that taught the fundamental principles of that theoretical model, then this will probably be something that you've never or rarely heard of. So this is one of my favorites. I'm excited to dive into this. And this pairs, remember, really well with those first three. So if we're talking about our four main skills, and if you are new, first of all, welcome. Second of all, if you've not listened to earlier podcasts, please go back and listen to archived episodes. It will be really important for you to have the foundational elements, the philosophical principles, and of course, the other three pillars, because this works as one of those four. And they all work in tandem together really effectively. So we have to keep in mind that this is not used in isolation. This is used in conjunction with all of the other principles and skills. So let's talk briefly before we dive into what encouragement looks like. Let's talk briefly about the difference between encouragement versus praise. Because typically when I speak or when I'm in a conference or a workshop and I'm talking about this topic, I lead with, someone give me your opinion on what's the difference between encouragement versus praise. And I almost always am met with, well, they both, so I end up getting similarities and I don't really get a whole lot of differences. So we have, as a society, gotten to a point where we use these words almost interchangeably. So we end up saying that, oh, I always encourage my children. Or, oh, I praise my kids all the time. Every time they do something, I give them praise. And we use these as synonyms, when in reality, they're vastly different. Not only in the way in which you phrase your response, but also in the outcome and the effect that it has. So we will dive into what encouragement is, what praise is, and then we will go through some examples together of how you would use encouragement, practically speaking, in your playrooms and with your clients. So let's start with what praise is, because I think that helps us compare easily once we already have established praise, because praise is the most common. So praise always involves a value judgment. In other words, when we praise, we are evaluative. And that means that there is a value judgment word thrown into the response. So what does that look like? Value judgment is, it has an opposite. So we might say, good job. The opposite would be bad job. We might say, that was fantastic. The opposite might be, that was awful. So as you can see, it's evaluative, meaning it's what we think about something. And it has a value judgment tied in, so it's on a spectrum. So any word that would have an opposite would be considered value-laden. So when we're talking about praising a child, and here's another just side note, here's another activity I typically do when I speak. I have everyone, you know, kind of think back to being in a school setting or being in a group of peers as children, and something goes really well, and the teacher is trying to explain to the class that something was done well, and what do they say? And almost across the entire room, universally, the response is, great job or good job. So we have been conditioned to believe that when we want to make a child feel good, which even that's for another podcast episode, but I heard that come out of my mouth and I'm inherently opposed to even that. It is no one's job to make a child feel good. We should never be worried about making a child feel anything a child feels how they feel, and it is our response to meet them in the feeling and serve as therapeutic guide rails to work through their feelings. So I amend what I said. So when we have been conditioned that our response to children should be, great job, that was awesome, good, that was amazing, that was fantastic, whatever, we think that we're doing children a service. We think that we are making them feel proud. We think that we're making them do whatever. And again, I'm inherently opposed to making a child feel anything, but just go with my analogy here. So unfortunately, what happens is we as play therapists become the only antidote to this, because parents do it, teachers do it, grandparents do it, coaches do it. Any adult in a child's life uses praise. And I'm not saying that accusationally. Most often people don't know that praise is harmful. So with good intentions and with the best in mind, everyone in the world is praising children. So we as play therapists, child-centered non-directive specifically, we are tasked with being the antidote to that and helping a child hear encouragement instead. Because if we are constantly giving value-laden, evaluative statements to children, that means that it is outcome-based. In other words, we say good job after something has been completed. We say, that was amazing after a child runs in a race. We say, you did so good at that. That was great. It's after the fact, outcome-based, evaluative, value-laden phrasing. And I know that's a lot of adjectives, but I want you to see the picture here, because praise is very, very deeply entrenched, and it does a lot, and it possesses the power to have a huge impact. Because if you consider this, it's about the outcome. It always has an evaluation based on the based on the person speaking, and it's a value judgment thrown in. Holy moly, that's really, really deep, and it's heavy. And so when kids hear this all day, every day, in all of their environments, what does that produce? Because I know that you heard me say earlier, it's dangerous. And you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, I've never known that I shouldn't praise, and what danger am I causing to kids? Don't beat yourself up. You don't know what you don't know. However, what's going on is praise creates an external locus of control in children. Let me unpack that. Externally driven children, they need to be validated. They need to be acknowledged. They need someone to say good job. They cannot be satisfied with their own work, with their own effort, with their own accomplishment until someone says, I love it. That's perfect. Your picture's beautiful. You did so great. These are the kids that'll say, do you like it? Do you love it? Did you see that? Did you like that happened? Did I do awesome over there? They are constantly seeking external validation. Why? Because they have an external locus of control. In other words, what motivates them? What creates the desire to work hard and work towards something? Is it external or is it internal? And kids who have been praised and kids who are dependent on praise have an external locus of control, which essentially means they are the people pleasers. They do things just for the sake of making other people acknowledge them. They want people to be happy with their actions and with their words and with their decisions and with their behaviors so that they will be verbally rewarded with a praise statement. You're such a great brother. You are the most amazing big sister. You always do the perfect thing right when I need you to do it. And again, it isn't intentional. It's not with any kind of malice or any kind of intent to harm the child. It's done with the best intentions. But people are not aware of the effect that praise has on kids. So now that we understand what praise is, number one, all of us are tasked with never allowing another praise statement to pass forth our lips, right? And then second, we're going to look at encouragement and what encouragement does, because it's exactly the opposite. So encouragement does not ever have a value-laden component to the statement. It's not evaluative, and it is not outcome-based. So encouragement constantly focuses on the effort that the child makes, the contributions that are involved. It is always validating of what they are working toward. So it does not have to be after the fact. It can be given at any point in time in any given situation. And it is never about what the person saying the encouragement phrase thinks. It puts the focus on what the child thinks about what they've done. So it's a huge shift. Now, I think we can pretty instinctively understand why praise would be damaging and why encouragement wouldn't be. But why do we make such a big push for encouragement when we're a child-centered play therapist? Because it helps the child build a sense of self. They build self-esteem, they build self-confidence, they build self-worth. They're constantly recognizing what they think about something. It creates an internal locus of control. I want to do this because it makes me feel good to accomplish this. I want to do this because I love doing art. It has nothing to do with what someone thinks about the finished product. I just like painting. I want to run in this race because I've worked really hard and I'm excited to see how I do. It's a totally different shift away from everyone else's opinions to my opinion matters because I value myself, I trust myself, I know that I'm competent, I know that I'm capable. So it is a monumental shift in interacting with kids. And it's gotten to a point where I have encouraged for so long, so many years, and I have not praised, and I don't use absolutes unless I mean them. I never praise anyone. I don't praise adults, I don't praise kids, I don't praise any humans at all, ever. Because I know what that creates, and I want to be an encourager so that people feel validated because of their work and their contributions, not because of what I think about it. So it's really hard for me to use praise statements. I have to really rack my brain to come up with what praise even sounds like because I don't do it. But your go-tos are great job, that was awesome, that was amazing, you're such a good such and such. You know, I love that you made this. I think that's great. All of those things are praise-driven, and they don't create the outcome that we want. So in contrast, let's look at what encouragement is. So you're going to start with the word you, and I think if you have followed with me through all of these episodes, you're seeing there's a really consistent theme running through here. Child-centered approach almost always starts with the word you. That's how we reflect feelings. That's how we give choices. That's how we set limits. So you're going to just follow the consistent pattern here. So you start with the word you, and you say something that they are working on, that they are contributing, or that the effort that they're putting forth. So what might that look like? You're not giving up. You keep trying. You'll figure it out. You knew just what to do. You have a plan. I'm trying to think what else you would say. You did it. You figured it out. You accomplished that. You're so proud. You should be proud of yourself. You worked hard. So notice that it's not I think anything. There's no personal opinion being voiced at all in encouragement. It's you did this. You accomplished this. You keep working on this. And it's very much believing in the child's ability as well. You'll figure it out. You keep trying. You'll get it. You know what to do. You can do hard things. It's painting the picture for a child that I have complete and utter faith that you can do this. Even though it's hard, even though you haven't gotten it yet, even though you may fail 173 times before you finally do it, I believe in you and I'm encouraging your effort. And what that does is when you say to a child, you kept trying and you figured it out, the child is forced to go, yeah, I did. I did keep trying. I did figure it out. I do feel proud. Versus, great job. Oh, she thinks I did a great job. Do you see the mind space that this puts kids in? The response that we say is so powerful because if we say great job, they automatically think, oh, she thinks that about what I did. Rather than, you did it. You figured it out. You kept trying until you got it. Yes, I did. And there is an internal motivation and an internal locus of control that's birthed out of that. So you can tell this is one of my favorites, and this is why. Because we don't understand how powerful it is to encourage a child. And again, we're the only ones that do it. No one else in the world, I mean, sadly, please, let's become the evangelists that help everyone in the world understand the power of encouragement and how damaging praise is. So now that you know, you have the responsibility to go help others understand this too. But we are the ones that are going to turn the tide a little bit away from praise, because everywhere else children go, they're going to hear praise, not encouragement. So it falls on us to be the encouragers. It falls on us to be the ones who focus on what they're doing, their efforts, their contributions, those types of things, because it really does make a huge difference in their sense of self. They are building their sense of worth and identity and esteem and confidence and all of those things. And the more they're encouraged, the more they start to believe it about themselves, and then it's self-fulfilling prophecy. So there is your fourth and final pillar of play therapy. So we covered reflecting feelings, choice giving, limit setting. Now this is encouragement. This is the package deal now, right? So you now have all four of the main skills. What's to come? We're moving into the principles of play therapy. So the principles of these four pillars. So that's our next section, if you will. So we're kind of chunking this up into mini groups of episodes. So we just covered the four pillars. Now we're moving into the principles. So these principles that we're going to start talking through will tie back to the pillars and the skills that we've already covered. So they go in tandem. But as you now have these four skills, that's your foundation. So you build upon these four main skills, and this is the cornerstone upon which you build all the rest of your knowledge. If you go into a playroom with these four skills honed and crafted, and they roll off your tongue, and you know when to use them, and you know how to effectively implement them, that is the basis of your play therapy session. The rest to come is kind of all of the extra goodies on top. But you now have the foundational components of child-centered, non-directive play therapy. So I hope that excites you. I hope it encourages you. I hope that you are already beginning to use these skills. And as a related aside, truly from the bottom of my heart, thank you for those of you who have reached out to me, emailed me, sent me questions. Just let me know that you're finding value in these podcasts, that this has revolutionize the way that you see your work with children. It's encouraged you to pursue child-centered play therapy as a career. That has been, I can't even tell you how meaningful and special that has been to me. So thank you so much for that. That is a super encouragement to me. I'm a words of affirmation love language. So when I hear people tell me that this is meaningful and helpful, that just makes me more excited to keep going. So thank you for those of you who have reached out all over the world. I've been so excited to hear from people all over the globe. It's been so amazing. So share this with your colleagues, share this with fellow clinicians, let people know. For those of us that want to have a career working with children and helping children in the mental health space, there is no better way to do it than child-centered non-directive play therapy. So share this, make other people aware, like this, subscribe, do whatever you can do so that more and more people are aware of this. This has been so amazing to start this, not knowing how it was going to go. And I'm just really, really encouraged and grateful for all of you. Thank you for spending time with me each week. If you want to shoot me an email, you can reach me at brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Thank you for the reviews that I've been getting. I've been checking in on those and I've been kind of monitoring what's going on there. So if you have sent a review or published a review and you asked a question in it, I promise I will get to it. I'm kind of following my sections right now and I want to make sure that I'm concise and I cover things in groups, but I promise I will get to some of the reviews and the questions that have been asked in those reviews. So as always, thank you for being a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.